sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
For Studio Mobile today in Champaign-Urbana, Illinois, where it's still quiet here. There's no snow right now, which is good news for us. As we know, as you heard in Sarah's news, Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska getting pounded by a blizzard this afternoon. We're on the fringes of it here, but it has not started snowing here. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Hilscher's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilscher's General Store. If you'd like a preview of what they have, it's easy. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. And remember, they're located 7 miles south of Seals Grove at Routes 11 and 15. And, of course, today's show, Thursday, is always brought to you by our great friend, Rick Weibel, at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. You can call Rick at 800-609-9484, or you can go online to rewfinancial.com. Kevin always does a great job in many areas. Kevin does a great job on play-by-play. He does a great job in the show, and does a great job of understanding the fans' perspective. And you had a question during the break, which I think fits right into that.
Yeah, I mean, is this really for real of North Carolina making the move to the Big Ten? And why would they want to do that? It seems to me like they're really comfortable where they're at. They've got their great rivalries. The travel doesn't seem to be a big deal.
Travel is not as much of a big deal today as it was 25 years ago. I mean, people, you know, you charter everywhere. I mean, yeah, you're not going to bust to Durham. You're not going to bust to Greensboro. And you're not going to bust to Raleigh, certainly. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But here's the reason why. It comes down to money. If you look at the Big Ten contract right now, and if the reports are correct, and I think they're reasonably close, each Big Ten school right now garners $24.5 million from television. Okay. The ACC's contract does not get to the $24 million level, Kevin, until 2019.
That's a long ways to wait for a payday.
Okay. Now, they have a good payday now. My point being is that at the end of 2016, all the Big Ten contracts are up. There are reports within the industry that the potential, and again, potential is a fancy way of saying you're not there yet, but the potential is there for each school in the Big Ten to get between $45 and $50 million. When you're trying to have athletic stabilization, and when we're in this era now, the 41st year of Title IX, you have to pay for Title IX. You have to pay for Title IX. You also have to pay for all the other men's sports that also are not drawing revenue. Okay? If you want to understand the numbers on this, I think it's the Department of Education. And if you go to that, you can get the athletic numbers as to revenue taken in versus revenue going out the door versus expenses. And it's eye-opening, I think, to fans if they go. And I think it's the Department of Education at US.gov. Go to the Department of Education, and then I think you want to go to athletic revenue. They have a split on every school in the country for men's basketball, football, other sports, and women's basketball. It will open your eyes beyond words. In fact, what I'll do is I'll go on the website, and because we'll have an opportunity here to talk to Tony Knopp in Los Angeles, okay? And I'll see if I can get some numbers for you, Kev. That way you can understand money out the door. You know, you see people showing up at a women's basketball game. Hey, they must be doing great. I'll show you the numbers. No, they're not. Okay?
Yeah, and how close are we now?
It's a numbers game.
And how close are we now, Steve, in your opinion, to maybe a 4, at best 5 conference setup for college sports in Division I?
If the Big Ten locks us up before July 1st of this year, I mean July 1st now, okay, between now and July 1, I think you'll see other conferences attempt to do the same thing and carve out their niche. When the SEC went to 14 and then Notre Dame made its jump to the ACC, the Big Ten, I think, did a great job because Jim Delaney is an outstanding strategist, and above all, Jim Delaney is an outstanding businessman. I mean, he is a CEO who gets the landscape. Not everybody agrees with him, but I get where he's going here. Is it my preference that the Big Ten had stayed at 12? Yes, it is. Because I like the fact that, a conference is a conference, and the 12 is a great working number. But at the same time, this is about protecting the future of your schools. Well, if you can protect your future of your schools by taking your profit margin from 24 to possibly 48, in other words, doubling it in 5 years by expanding into New Jersey, Maryland, that's 16 million households. And remember, if the Big Ten network is within, quote, and to use a Jim Delaney word, the footprint, okay? And, this discussion, the way it's going right now, Kevin, I think we're going to push Tony Knott back to tomorrow. How about that?
Okay.
Yeah. If you're within the – because I'm looking at the timing now, and we'll get to Tony tomorrow and do that. But if you're in the footprint, you go from 13 cents per household to carry the Big Ten Network on your cable to 39 cents. Okay? You triple your money by doing it. If you are in a state where you're a conference state. So when I talked earlier about, Pitt is a great institution. Pitt has great basketball. Pitt, since the middle 80s, maybe a little bit, for the most part, since the middle 80s, Pitt's had mediocre football. They've once had a couple of good years. I think Paul Christ is a really good coach, but right now Pitt, I think you can safely say, has really been in a mediocre state football-wise for a while. Basketball, they've been in a great state for a long time. Iowa State is a really good basketball team. They've become a good football team. Not great, but a good football program. But you're not going to see Iowa State and Pitt enter the Big Ten. Why? Penn State has locked up the state of Pennsylvania for the Big Ten network and for the Big Ten. They've locked it up. They're done. Iowa has locked up the state of Iowa. There's no need to have Iowa State in there. So, in other words, Iowa State is not going to add anything to the table that is going to enhance the Big Ten financially. Pitt is not going to add anything to the table that is going to benefit the Big Ten financially. Now, I'm talking hard, cold numbers here. I'm not talking emotion and rivalries, because obviously we don't see Missouri play Kansas anymore in basketball. We don't see Texas and Texas A&M play anymore in football. Penn State and Pitt, when they play and have that four-year series coming up beginning in 2016, is going to be a non-conference series early in the year and not at the end. Okay. Is that sad for us, you and me and so many others that are traditionalists? Yes, it is. One thing that's interesting about the Pac-12 is outside of Utah and Colorado, you have a minimum of two schools in all the other states. Washington is Washington State. Oregon is Oregon State. Well, in California, you have Cal, Stanford within miles of each other. You have UCLA and USC within miles of each other. And you have Arizona and Arizona State 2 hours from each other. So you have rivalries built in within the Pac-12 footprint. But when they expanded, they went Utah, Colorado. There were no other places for them to go within their existing footprint. Now, this becomes, obviously, a money game. When Penn State came in as the 11th school when they expanded to Penn State, it opened up, in negotiations, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, New York, Baltimore, Washington, that they felt Penn State could draw, and that was the argument that Jim Delaney brought to the table when they negotiated the new TV deals in the 1990s. And the TV deals, gave at that moment the Big Ten a huge financial bump by getting Penn State to open up the Eastern Corridor for them. They were no longer just a Midwestern conference. Penn State's presence in the television deals opened up the corridor. In the 90s, the Big Ten's television presence financially grew tremendously because of the ad of Penn State. When Nebraska came in as a powerful football entity, gave the Big Ten a 12 school and the $25 million deal to get a Big Ten championship game, because you can now do that with a 12 school. The Big 12, as you notice, doesn't have a championship game any longer. They're at 10. They thought about petitioning the NCAA, but they haven't done it. And I'll point out, and I've made this point before, when the ACC expanded with Miami, Virginia Tech, Boston College, BC had to delay their entry for a year. So for a season, the ACC played with 11 schools at that point. They petitioned the NCAA saying, we'd like to start a championship game, because next year we will have BC, but we'd like to start it a year early and establish it. And the NCAA said, no, you don't have 12 yet. That's why 12 was such a magical number to get. So Nebraska paid for itself by getting in with the $25 million championship game, because their mere presence, just by being there, did it. And they did it with a school that, while being mediocre in basketball, is still a powerful presence in football, and they do very well in other sports. Nebraska doesn't bring a lot of, does not, by comparison, bring a lot of television sets to the table, but they do bring a power in football to the table that gives, that makes the Big Ten look better. How about that, when you're talking about moving forward?
Well, here's one thing, though, that concerns me, and we were talking about this because I'm looking at it from a fan standpoint. I understand the money of it, but you're looking at a situation now where you're going to have a lot of teams in a conference and no non-conference games for football? I mean, that's a possibility here.
No, it's not a possibility. You're talking about 10 games at the max out of 12, so
okay.
You still have two.
Well, I mean, but if you end up with these mega conferences like they're setting up to be, I mean, there may be a situation where you don't have a non-conference game.
No, well, I've heard that talked about. You'd play everything with your conference, and then you'd come up with a conference champion, and then those champions go on to the semifinals. I've heard that scenario. I think you're still going to want to have intersectional matchups somewhere along the line. The Big Ten is absolutely going to a minimum of 9 conference games. Okay? The door is open to 10. Okay?
And I would much rather see, I like the non-conference games, don't get me wrong, but I would much rather see you play everybody in your division of the conference than to play an up-and-down conference schedule and miss one or two teams the way the Big Ten used to do it.
Right. Well,
because how many times has that led to a tie for the Big Ten championship? Because there was no way to play anybody off, and then there was no way to find a definitive champion because they didn't play each other.
Well, it was one year it happened. That was Iowa, Ohio State.
Really? I thought there was more than that. That's interesting.
No, Iowa and Ohio State both went 8-0 in, I want to say, 2004, 2003. Three or four. I think it was 2003. And they both went 8-0. I think Iowa went to the Orange Bowl. And so that's the one time I can remember that happened, where it turned out they both were undefeated in conference play. Yet they didn't play each other, so they were co-champions. So.
It does make things interesting for, for basketball, though. If you go
Say that again, Kev. I'm sorry.
I said if you end up with these big conferences, it does make things interesting for basketball.
It does to a point, because scheduling is going to be a mess. I told you the other day that the first thing I look at when I start thinking about who might win a conference or not is, what do I look at? The one plays.
Right.
You're going to have more one plays with a bigger conference. How many conference games, for example, in basketball, do you want to play? I mean, how many do you want to play?
Well, the thing
I want to play, say you have 16 schools. Do you play everybody on your side, home and away? and then play everybody on one side once, that gets you, with 16 schools, that gets you to 22 games.
Right.
It's a lot of games.
And it also it forces you now to schedule any games you don't have that are conference games. It really forces you to schedule what you feel are going to be quality opponents for RPI purposes.
Right. And now college basketball is a little different, except for a tournament here, or except for tournaments, which you get in ahead of time. For example, I can tell you now Penn State's playing in the Barclays tournament at where the home of the Brooklyn Nets next year. Okay? It's a 2-day tournament. They're playing in that. All right? And your non-conference schedule, a lot of it's really done after the season's over. Yeah, it's not like football where you and I both know now, you know, that Penn State down the road has, like something that happens with Central Florida rarely happens. But Rutgers was supposed to be on the schedule coming up. Now they're going to be a conference team. You know that UMass is on the schedule, coming up. I mean, we can look at the schedules up to 2017 and get a feel for who's in, because these contracts are signed ahead of time. And so...
Well, let's see. That's
the difference.
The maximum number of games you can play would be, what, 29? If you figure five games for a conference tournament and then six for an NCAA tournament, you could schedule maybe 29?
You want to schedule 30. You're allowed 30.
Right.
The max you can get to is, I think, 31.
Oh, okay. So I thought it was 40 altogether.
Well, no. You mean including the NCAAs in the conference tournament?
Right, right. That would include them all, yeah.
Right, okay. Right, okay. I know what you're talking about. Let's see. I think I found the website I want to get to here. Let's see. Let's take, for example, let's take Ohio State. Let's see. Let me see if I get the state of Ohio here up here. Let's see. I'm trying to get in here so I can tell you, so you understand what we're talking about revenue-wise.
Isn't hotel Wi-Fi great?
No, but this is what I'm trying to get into, okay? I'm trying to get so people understand what revenue happens to be versus expenditure, okay? Let's see, coaching staff, revenues, expenses. This is Ohio State University. This is what they reported to the U.S. Department of Education, all right? This is how deep this thing goes, all right? So that you understand. Let's see. Here we go. Here are the exact numbers. Okay. Let's see. Basketball. Let's see. Operating per participant by team. Football per participant by team. Okay. Well, that's operating game day. Well, let's see. Rifle. Don't care. All right. Here we go. Expenses by team. Men's basketball. Let's see. Men's football. Let's see. Basketball. Men's basketball at Ohio State spends $5.9 million. Okay. Football at Ohio State spends $34 million. Okay, that's expenses. Okay, women's basketball spends $3.8. Let's see. Now, those are the expenses. I want to see what the revenues are, because that way I can give you what the... what everything has, because, I mean, you'd be shocked at how much money is lost, okay? I'm talking, like, purely lost.
It's always been discussed that football programs pay for a lot of sports.
Here we go.
Go ahead.
But listen to it, okay? Here are the numbers, okay? You want to get down to cold, hard numbers? Okay, cold, hard numbers are as follows. Okay? Here it is. Basketball spends $5.9 million. The revenue brought in by men's basketball at Ohio State is $18.8 million. All right? You're talking about a profit there of almost $12 million, correct?
Right.
Women's basketball, how much of a profit do you think women's basketball makes?
Honestly, I would think it doesn't make a profit.
It doesn't. They lose $2.6 million.
And that's nothing against women's basketball. It's just,
No.
The experience.
I'm just stating facts.
Right.
Okay, I'm stating facts here. Football has a profit at Ohio State, according to this, of $24 million. All right, let's get to Penn State University. Okay? Penn State's next on this little list here that I want to get to. So I'm sure fans want to know this. Again, this is the U.S. Department of Education's list, all right? Now, and so I'm just giving you a typical what a typical deal is here, this, because you're talking about these are big, broad-based, okay, state universities. Now, you talk about this is where, like, you know, you're talking about why do they need this money? Why do they need $24.5 million? Select institution. Let's see here.
All right, hold on a second. I feel like you're going deep into this website.
No, I'm not. I'm not going deep into it. I'm just literally calling it up. I just got to find it first. I think what I have to do is I think it's going to make me change states. I think you just can't call up the university. You've got to change a state. There we go. All right, now search.
What the heck did we do before we had information at our fingertips?
No, but, well, I've had this information at my fingertips. It's just I've always – this is something where, for example, I wanted the most updated information. How about that? All right. I wanted the most updated information so we could get this thing. That way you knew what we're looking for here. For whatever reason, it's not bringing Penn State up. No campus has met your criteria. What are you, nuts? I wonder if it might want me to put in Pennsylvania State University.
Well, why don't you do that? We'll take a break for the news and come back, and then you'll have it.
Well, maybe. We'll see. I had the institution list, but we'll see. I have no idea. But I'll get it for you here in a second. But, let's take a break.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout and make your deal today, because these cars could be at an auction tomorrow, like Jeep Wrangler Unlimited, four-wheel drive Sahara under 6,000 miles, and a 2012 Hyundai Veloster three-door coupe with black interior and under 7,000 miles, both at a lowest price promise, so low you have to call for the price, 888-536-8017. Ford F-150 regular cab $17,995, a 2012 Hyundai Elantra four-door sedan GLS just $15,943, a 2010 Nissan Cube $12,977, and a beautiful 2003 Ford Mustang Premium Mach 1 just $16,997. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
There's an old saying in the Iditarod, if you're not the lead dog, the view never changes. Welcome back. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484, online at rewfinancial.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf, and the Hillshire General Store hotline open at 800-795-9565. Powered by Hillshire General Store, 7 miles south of Salem's Grove, routes 11 and 15. Go to www.hillshirestore.com. The Kevin Hur rant of the day coming up momentarily. I promise the Penn State numbers, okay? Basketball. Men's basketball, what would you venture the profit to be in men's basketball based on the latest reporting?
At Penn State?
Yes.
I would say $5
million. Close. $4.6 million profit. They spend a shade over $5 million. They make $9.6 million. Okay. What is the loss of the women's basketball team financially?
I would say about $5 million.
No. No, it's better than it's better.
No, they're one of the exceptions to the rule, probably. Yeah.
Exception to what rule?
Well,
what are you talking about? No, there's only one exception to the rule. It's the University of Connecticut.
Connecticut,
they're
right?
They're the only women's basketball team that makes a profit. The only one. Women's basketball at Penn State, according to the latest reporting numbers from the Department of Education, loses $2.9 million a year. Okay? Football makes a profit of $36
million. Oh, I was going to guess 30. That's not bad.
Yeah. No, you did very, very well. Very well. So men's basketball makes $4.6 million. Women's basketball loses $2.9 million. Football makes $36 million. Okay. Now, this again, these are the Department of Education numbers. Now, the next thing you want to know probably would be, let's take North Carolina, okay, since we've been talking about them. You asked earlier, why would they consider this?
Right.
Okay. Now remember the numbers I just gave you for Penn State University and for Ohio State. Those are the two institutions I targeted there. So let's take the University of North Carolina, then we'll go to Maryland very quickly. North Carolina's numbers are as follows. This is the latest reporting. This goes up to June 30th of last year when they had to report. You had to report at the end of the fiscal year. Right? So I want to be fair as to what the numbers are and when the reporting dates happen to be. North Carolina, when it comes to expenses, basketball spends $7 million. Men's basketball makes $24 million, a profit of $17
million. Wow.
Okay. All right. Football makes how much do you think the football profit is?
Oh, I would have guessed about $1 million.
Football? No, you got to figure TV. They make $9 million.
Oh, see, I keep forgetting the TV part, though. I'm thinking about people in the stands.
But, Kevin, this is what it's all about.
No, you're right.
It's about TV. It's what it's all about. Women's basketball at North Carolina loses $2.3 million. Okay? And altogether, let's see. Are they running? They're running a profit, I'm sure. Ooh, it's close. Revenues versus expenses, they make a profit of $558,000 when it's all said and done.
That's all sports?
All sports.
Wow.
Okay. Penn State, Ohio State are far greater than that. See what I'm talking about? You're asking why would they do it? Now let's take Maryland. Maryland, of course, has already accepted to come in. And Maryland, where's Maryland?
Well, the colors on those uniforms alone cost, I had to put them in the red.
I hear you. I forgot how you think versus how I think. I forgot about that.
Ugliest uniforms in college football.
Yeah, they were, to their credit, you are absolutely correct. They really are.
I understand it's the flag. I get it, but.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's still weird. Revenue, okay? Maryland makes approximately $6.2 million from basketball. Women's basketball in Maryland does pretty well by comparison. They lose only $1.8 million. Football at Maryland makes a profit of $5.8 million. That's it. See what I mean? You wonder, you know that, now those are the sports that are bringing money for you, and, of course, the biggest money loser. Their total revenue minus grand total expenses, $675,000. That's it. How about that? So you see what the impact the Big Ten's going to have for them?
And it's all
financially.
I mean, it's basically the TV money is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
The TV money makes all the difference. Let's get the University of Virginia. They're another possibility for the Big Ten, all right? So if they're a possibility for the Big Ten, where are they standing right now with the ACC? And, again, this is as of June 30th, 2012. Revenues versus expenses. Virginia usually does pretty well. Men's basketball. Okay, there's the coaches' salaries. There we go. Men's basketball only makes a profit of Virginia, believe it or not, Kevin, of $1.1 million.
I would have guessed it would have been a little bit higher. I figured around the $4
million.
Yeah, me too.
Me too. But they make a profit of men's basketball of $1.1 million based on these numbers. Women's basketball loses $1.4 million. Let's see if I get this right. No, $1.6 million. Football makes a profit of about nearly $7 million, about $6.7 million. So you see where we're going here with this? Well, now, in terms of the that they actually make some money from other sports, though. They actually do okay in some other sports. They actually have a total profit line here of revenues minus grand total expenses. It says here $6.8 million. Not bad.
Well, you picked a couple of ACC schools, and for basketball they have a TV contract, but aren't they regional for football? Isn't that a regional TV contract?
No, that ESPN's their contract.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Yeah, ESPN's their contract, on top of their syndicated package. Basketball's the same way, syndicated package with Raycom combined with what they get from ESPN. They may be with as well. Now that so you're asking, why would those schools want to go to the Big Ten? That's the reason why. You asked about women's basketball. So let's just very quickly, Big East. UConn makes money. I know they do.
I would have said UConn and Tennessee would be the closest to make money. I figured Tennessee or UConn would.
You're absolutely right about that. So let's get to University of Connecticut. University of Connecticut. Now they're the odd team on the odd team in this whole thing.
Do UConn women make more money than the UConn men?
No, they do not. And UConn's attendance at women's games, they are not selling out any longer.
But really?
They charge $22 a head. Okay. They charge $22 a head for their games at the Hartford Civic Center. Expenses by team.
I know people that live up there that said that the UConn women at one point drew more than the men for a while.
They may. That's probably true. But you have to remember, I grew up in that state.
Right,
They're the first team in that state that ever won. And that's very important psychologically. Expenses. Men's basketball. Ooh, they are in tough shape. Men's basketball spends $8.6 million. They bring in $7.3 million. They lose.
So the men are losing money.
Yes. Okay. So you're saying the women are carrying the day?
Well, in that particular situation, maybe.
Wrong. They spend $6 million. They make $4.7 million. They're $1.3 million in the hole. They both are $1.3 million in the hole.
I would not have guessed
They're both $1.3 million in the hole, and the football program at UConn is $1.5 million in the hole.
You know, but the football at $1.5 might be a success, though.
Yeah, but the athletic department loses $17 million at UConn. How about that?
Yikes.
Okay, so now let's get to Tennessee. You want to see? We want to know Tennessee women's basketball. Is that the one you wanted to know?
Yeah, I would have said Tennessee would have been successful.
Yeah. Let's see. Tennessee.
I would say football makes money, too.
Oh, men's basketball makes money, too.
Both. Well, yeah.
And men's, okay, I mean, that's, e-contracts, swing it. Southeastern Conference, come on, man.
Football might have some extra expenses for the checkerboard end zones for the extra paint.
Oh. Where did I find you? Hey, really?
I said this the other day. Remember the old night court when Harry, they said, how did you get to become a judge? I was the only one home on Sunday.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Southwestern, Southern Intercollegiate. Where's the Southeastern Conference? That ends up being the swing, obviously, is the TV money. The TV money is what swings it all the way through for these schools. So you see, like a school like UConn, it is a misnomer, for example, that women's basketball is making money there, based on the U.S. Department of Education numbers. Correct?
Yes.
Now here's the University of Tennessee at Knoxville.
Okay.
University of Tennessee at Knoxville. See, when you go in, you have to find. Remember, I was trying to find it before the break. You have
right.
to put in exactly wherever, you have to put locations in. Penn State had to put in the main campus. I mean, that's you have to remember, this is the U.S. Department of Education. So, basketball makes a profit at Tennessee of, okay, what makes more money, men's basketball or women's basketball at Tennessee? Perception.
I would have said women's.
Okay.
I really would.
Men's basketball, right. I understand that. No, that's why I asked the question, because, again, you're very good to bounce off. Men's basketball makes almost a $9 million profit at the University of Tennessee.
That's more than I thought.
Women's basketball loses $2.1 million.
That's a lot different than I thought.
Yep. Football makes a profit at Tennessee of $31 million.
Yeah, that's about right. I mean, that's – and consider the fact that they haven't had enormous success either.
But you remember, yeah.
Lately.
Socialism is what works in sports. The NFL has proven that. When you take your revenues and you divide them up evenly among teams, Wellington Mara, when Pete Rozelle came to him with this idea in the 60s and said, look, if we divide up the national TV network money, it'll be, and Wellington Mara listened to him. He said, you know what, it would be good for the league. That's why Green Bay can be as financially competitive as New York. In the Big Ten, all the television money is divided equally, and all the bowl money is divided equally among the schools, plus the conference office gets a cut. The Southeastern Conference also has that kind of revenue-sharing model. That's why you have success across the board financially for all these schools. The Big East does not have that model, which I just pointed out. The ACC does. The ACC has a split equal. The Big 12 does not. Okay, Texas gets more than the other schools. Okay, and that's a big difference. I know we have to take a break. Your rant's coming up here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Kevin mentioned me in the break. How about Duke, North Carolina as a combo? Again, the Big Ten is not going to expand, in my opinion, with two schools in one state. It doesn't do anything. Once you get the state, you then go to another state.
That's true.
Kevin, what's your rant?
Well, it's a real simple one. The NFL announced that they were going to be doing something that they're not going to call the Harbaugh rule, but that's who it really is intended for. The officials are going to start flagging coaches for running out onto the field. Now, coaches have run out onto the field long before Jim Harbaugh. Nobody said a word. But it used to be that gray area, as it were, between the sidelines and the numbers. As long as a coach stayed there to try and get a coach, get an official's attention, they were okay with it. But now, according to the way they're going to be emphasizing this rule, they're going to enforce that if you step on the field, you're going to be flagged. Now, the question I have to ask you is this. Will the officials be a little more attentive to the coach when they're on the sidelines trying to get their attention for an explanation of a penalty or an explanation of a call? Because let's face it, that's often what causes the coaches to run out on the field in the first place. This rule's always been
but
now they're talking about enforcing it.
Yeah, but the other part, too, is there are coaches that run on the field to call a timeout. And if you allow them to call a timeout, okay, they have to put themselves in a spot where they're visible so whomever is there knows they're calling a timeout.
I didn't even touch
that
on that, but you're right.
Into player. I mean, they're allowed to call a timeout. Well, if I'm standing back here in a crowd of people, I call timeout. He's like, you have to get their attention because they need that time. And so it's, I think you've got to be careful about how you know.
Once again, we're creating a big gray area on enforcement.
Right, exactly. I mean, that is a gray area, and if you have that rule in place, they have to be able to get their attention. They have to be able to get their attention.
And besides, I want to see Jim Harbaugh running out. That's interesting and entertaining to me.
Of course it is. Is it true that Danica only beat the cars that crashed today?
Stop it.
I'm just asking.
She didn't have to do anything. She's the pole sitter. Come Sunday, she'll still be sitting where she was earlier today.
Well done.